Father in heaven, thank you for this sacred time, this wonderful time, where the whole world stands in remembrance of the sacrifice of your Son and of his resurrection and victory. I pray you please bless us, impress these things in our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Safe in Christ. This is one of the great themes in Christendom. Are you afraid today? Are you afraid while you're sitting here this morning, sitting in that chair? What is it that's worrying you? Being afraid is a very human thing, human way to feel. It's the very first emotion that Adam and Eve felt after they had sinned was fear. Remember, they heard God walking in the garden. Genesis 3:10, it says, "And he, Adam, answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid.'" Fear. The first emotion unleashed by sin, and it has great endurance. So to be safe in Christ, fear has to be put in its proper place. And knowing that, as Hebrews 13:8 tells us, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we see throughout human history, Old Testament, New Testament, church history, the children of God calling out to the Lord, our Redeemer, our Helper, calling out, seeking deliverance, seeking solace, seeking peace of mind. And the Lord has responded. In Genesis 21, if you'd like to read with me, Hagar has been cast out into the world with her boy, with her son Ishmael. She is convinced that she's just about to perish in the wilderness. And then the Lord comes and the Lord speaks to her. In Genesis 21, verse 17. "And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, 'What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation.' Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink." To Joshua, in the first chapter of Joshua 1, verse 9. The Lord comes to this leader of the people of Israel and says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, who's near the end of his ministry, he's sailing to Rome, a prisoner. And the Lord comes in Acts chapter 27. Verse 23, he relates there what had happened next. 27, starting with verse 23. "Last night an angel of the God whose I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul.'" The Lord comes. There's a great old hymn, great old Christian hymn called "Abide with Me," where this same sentiment is brought out, the Lord's people calling and seeking God to be close to them, God to help them. David spoke so well of this fundamental aspect of our relationship with God. And he summarizes his experience of how God delivers and the way God delivers. In Psalm 27, it's recorded for us. Psalm 27, verse 1. David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble. When they besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. David says he will keep me safe in his dwelling. Is that a special place that we're supposed to run to? A special place like the temple in Jerusalem to go? Well, when David is writing this, the temple in Jerusalem hasn't been built. It wasn't built until his son Solomon came along and did that. He had established a tabernacle there in the city of David. He will keep me safe in his dwelling. Is that a special place? Yes, it is. But its boundaries are quite extensive. Let me show you a couple of places of where this is. The first is from Hebrews 4, verse 14. Hebrews 4:14, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So his great throne of grace is open to us. We go there. We can go there. We're invited there in prayer to the heavenly sanctuary. But that's not all. Let me show you another place. Matthew 18, verse 20, Jesus speaking says, for where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. This is the main reason that it is good, that it is a blessing to come to the place of worship and join with God's children in Christ's name, because this then is his dwelling also, the house of the Lord, a temple to seek him in, a tabernacle to seek shelter in, as David. And just one more. Ephesians 3, verse 16 and 17 says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit, your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So if the Lord is going to keep me safe in his dwelling, and he dwells also in my heart, then he's going to care for me wherever the two of us happen to be. Isn't that right? That's right. Maybe this is exactly what the Apostle John was thinking about when he wrote on this exact same topic in 1 John 4. 1 John 4, verse 15, he said, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. He said that fear has to do with punishment, and it's connected with the day of judgment. And if we're in Christ and he is in us, that's not supposed to be an issue. We're not supposed to fear that punishment, because if we're walking with God, we've been forgiven. Have you gotten up off of your knees and then felt, I'm not really forgiven? You still felt guilty. That sin really hasn't been taken from you. This is probably where the whole concept of penance came from, that there's something more you have to do. There's some penalty, some price you have to pay. I have to walk up a hill on my knees or something like that. There's something I have to do to add to the grace of God, to the sacrifice of Christ, to get my sins forgiven. You start to put it like that, it gets a little bit ugly. Is there something I can do that can add to the grace that comes through Christ? Is there something I can do that can add to the sacrifice Jesus made? John had already cleared this thing up earlier in his book, just a page before this, in 1 John 1, verse 7. He says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from" how much sin? All sin. "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from" how much unrighteousness? All unrighteousness. Every bit. Every bit. Here is where our safety comes from. From him, not us. We are safe in Christ because our salvation depends on him, not us. Believing that he keeps his promises, that he forgives, that he purifies, is a requirement of faith for us. We are required to believe that when we say our prayers, we are completely forgiven and we are completely purified. Thank you. The Apostle Paul was a letter writer. It's a good thing for us. In the midst of writing his letter to Titus, under the power and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he wrote something. And when he was done writing it, he recognized immediately that the Lord had led him to capture a concept that is written just the way he put it, just captured something vital to our experience. And he instructed that what he had just written be repeated over and over again in the churches, and that it would never be lost sight of, and that it would never be forgotten. If you find the little book of Titus, it's there after Thessalonians and Timothy. Because I'd like to leave you with this thought that he said should never be forgotten as the conclusion of our seminar and Christ's offer of hope to our generation, with the prayer that its message and its meaning be new to you again this morning, and that it stays in your heart forever. Titus chapter 3, starting at verse 1. "Remind the people to be subject to rulers or obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility toward all men. At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. So that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things, that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone."